a wonderful privilege for Avril and I to be here this evening. Thank you to Pastor John for the invitation to come and bring the Word of God to you. We know many of you, and it's lovely just to have this opportunity of sharing the Word of God with you as you build up into Missions Week. I think Missions Week should be the highlight of every church. We should have an outward focus. We're not a club for believers. We're here to reach the world for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a story told. I'm going to be talking tonight about seeds and harvesting. You would have got that already from the reading which you had. But there's a story told about a business guy who was very successful, and he was looking, as he was heading towards retirement, for his successor. And so he called them and he said, I'm going to retire in a year's time, but in the meantime, I have given each of you a seed in this plant, and I want you to go back home and carefully look after this seed and carefully tend whatever grows from the seed, because they're all different. And when we get together a year today, it'll help me to make my call as to who is going to be CEO, the future CEO. So they all took their seeds home and told their wives and started to water and care for their seeds. And soon one guy, and we'll just call him Jim, sort of said to his wife, my seed isn't growing. And he watered it every day, and he'd go back to the office, and the guys were saying, oh, mine's coming up, and it's really looking great, and it's, you know, this and that, and 3 months down the road, still no seed for Jim. Nothing grew, and he was getting embarrassed. He never took part in the office discussion about the plants and the trees that these guys had. And on the day of the first year, he said to his wife, I'm a failure. And I'm just going to have to go in and say, my seed didn't grow and I killed it with water or something. And they get into the boardroom and these guys are carrying these huge things in there and they're all lovely. And Jim slips right into the very, very back with his empty little jar. And the CEO sort of takes a look and looks at everything. And then he says, hey Jim, come forward here. Bring your little whatever, your seed, and let's hear about it. Jim walks up to the front and he said, I've done everything I can, but the seed wouldn't grow. The CEO said, gentlemen, let me introduce you to the new CEO of this company, Jim. I gave you all dead, boiled seeds. This man, Jim, is the only one with integrity. The rest of you have faked it and gone out and got another seed. And he is the only one who has the integrity to lead this company forward. That's a seed that didn't grow. And many of you have planted spiritual seeds in the lives of people that you've prayed for and that you've hoped would grow. Some of you have got children who you've nurtured to follow the Lord. And it's silent. And you say, why isn't that seed growing? You know, when you look at Scripture, Jesus tells stories about seeds that grow and seeds that don't grow. We love the stories, of course, about the seeds that grow. But the passage we read together in Matthew 13 spoke very clearly about certain seeds that fell on hard soil that would not grow. I wonder if I were to ask you to put up your hands about folk who you've planted the seed in, that you've been desperate to see that seed grow, or in a child's life. The other kids have come to know the Lord. That seed has just fallen on hard ground. My guess is then more than half of this congregation's hands will go up. And often, those hard seeds, or those seeds that have fallen on the hard ground, we have to try and figure out, where did hurt into that person's life? Because hurt came in somewhere, and that seed fell on hard ground. But so let's look tonight at four principles of sowing seeds and harvesting. First one, if you don't sow seeds, you won't reap a harvest. If you don't sow a seed, you're not going to get any harvest. Now you might say, well, that's pretty obvious. But our scripture says in verse 3, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. A farmer went and did something and sowed seed. Some of you would know that I'm involved with Running Living Hope. And we have tunnel loads of vegetables. We have contracts with suppliers like the Pick and Pay down here that we have to give them X amount of tomatoes per month, etc., etc. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had a visit from a city official, and he said, I've just come to tell you that the water in your boreholes at Living Hope belongs to the government and not actually to you. And we may need to capture your water and use it in some other way. Well, we've found a way through that, I think. But I suddenly went through this whole thing. Well, we were about to plant hundreds and hundreds of tomatoes. This was about 2 weeks ago. What if we've got no water? Well, what did we do? We went ahead in faith and have sown the seed. And we trust that our boreholes will hold out with water. But you see, you have to do something. We could have sat back in this very literal harvesting situation and said, well, not going to do anything too risky. But my friend, we're so prone to do that spiritually. We say, oh, you know, it's not really politically correct to share too much today about your faith. And, you know, just be careful about what you say about your Christian faith. What seed have you planted in this past week spiritually in somebody's life? What seed have you sown this week about God, about His kingdom in somebody's life? I think very often we sow seeds of doubt. And people think, oh, they're Christians, I don't want to be that. What spiritual seeds are you sowing? It's so obvious, if you don't plant a seed, you're not going to get a harvest. It's not rocket science, that's fact. You've got to go out and sow some seed. Farmer went out. You're farmers, spiritually. How's your going out doing? For some, it may be that you should be thinking about going far away. For others, it may be going to people who are culturally different from you. You know, one of the blessings of the new South Africa is God has brought every nation of the world just about to us. In this valley, you've got half of Africa and African nations living here. You can just about find somebody who's from just about every sub-Saharan country here. Missions is on our doorstep. You don't have to leave the comfort of your home to do missions. For others, it just simply means going to your friends. I think we could rewrite this parable. A woman went out to the mall, and while she was shopping, she shared her faith in Christ with the lady at the till, or with somebody looking lonely in the mall. What seeds are you planting or have you planted? He went out to sow seed. My friend, sowing is an action word. It's doing. Let me read you a quote from a guy called Paul Powell in The Complete Disciple. And he described the condition of many churches as follows. Many churches today remind me of a laboring crew trying to gather in a harvest while they sit in the tool shed. They go to the tool shed every Sunday and they study bigger and better methods of agriculture. They sharpen their hoes, they grease their tractors, and then they get up and go home. Then they come back that night, and I must say, well done to you guys on an evening service crowd. And they study they study bigger and better methods of agriculture, sharpen their hoes, grease their tractors, and go home again. They come back Wednesday night and they study bigger and better methods of agriculture, sharpen their hoes, grease their tractors, and get up and go home again. They do this week in, week out, year in, year out. But nobody bothers ever to go out into the field to sow seeds or gather in the harvest. How are you doing? You here as a church? How are you doing in sowing seeds? That is the first principle. Jesus makes it very clear. Our first step is going out. If you don't sow seeds, you won't get a harvest. Secondly, be generous. Be generous in your sowing of seeds, of kingdom seeds. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Many of you know the scripture. It's often used in the context of finances, but it's a great principle. Remember this, whoever sows, who knows the next word, probably, sparingly, will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now I know it takes a bit of faith right at the moment to go off to the nursery and say, hey, I want to plant a whole lot of seeds this week because of low rain. But the principle remains. You need to be generous in the seeds you sow in spreading the good news of Jesus. My observation over many years of ministry, sadly, most of us are very stingy when it comes to sharing the gospel. We don't sow generously and just share Jesus. Why is that? We're sort of very secretive about our faith, almost as though we're a little embarrassed about the good news. Be generous in your growing of kingdom seeds. But the principle remains that some seeds won't grow. Jim seed up front wouldn't grow. And that's the part we don't enjoy. I want to tell you something. Harvesting work is hard work. We often think the Christian life's just one easy thing, but it's a lot of routine and a lot of hard work. It's keeping on, pressing on. By the grace of God, Evelyn and I have been privileged to see growth in the kingdom of God in our time in this valley, in the church and in CCFM, which continues to astound me at the numbers who come to Christ through CCFM. Literally, thousands every year. But it was hard work. Hard work. Hard work. And when you plant your seeds, my friend, it's hard work. You don't just have to, you know, sort of drop a little thought here and there. Sure, that's better than doing nothing. But sometimes you've got to work with that person. Ask them questions. Find out why they're hurting. Find out what was going wrong in their lives. Find out what put up their backs against God. Befriend them. Love them. Our son and his wife are church planting in Canada. We visited in November. And we got to church. And there's a Muslim lady in her full garb with her hijab. All you can see is her eyes. And she's sitting there with a Bible on her lap. And she comes to the life group on Wednesday, and I said to her, tell me your story. She said, I've come from Iran to do a master's degree. All I knew of Christians is that they are very vicious people who want to kill and destroy. That's what she believed. And she said, I've arrived here. And from the moment I've set foot on this campus, students from the point, that's the church of Exodus, have just left me. They took my baggage to a room. They said, this is how you get around the campus. This is. She said, I never knew they were such loving people. I did not know. She said, it's their love that makes me want to be a Christian. And I've got permission from my parents in Iran to now explore the Christian faith. Sowing seeds is hard work. Sowing seeds is loving people. Sowing seeds is sharing over and over again and keeping going. But never forgetfulness. It's the Holy Spirit who's in control of which seeds grow. One thing that I have become very, very, very sure of in ministry is I love the work that only the Spirit of God can do. I'm telling you, folk, we can share and we must share. But only God can make that seed grow. Only the Spirit of God can come and water that seed and make it grow. And so pray for the ministry of the Spirit over somebody's life. Pray as good Calvinists that God would water that seed that is planted and that it would grow and people would come to Christ. I think one of Winston Churchill's finest speeches that he ever gave after the World War at his old school was, never, ever give up. Never, ever give up. Never, ever give up. And he sat down. And it's so true in planting seeds, sowing seeds. Who have you been praying for lifelong? Never, ever give up. Who did you share with last week? Never, ever give up. Next week, you're going to look at the harvest fields. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. The harvest is ripe. Third principle. If you keep sowing, you will reap the harvest. If you keep sowing, you will reap the harvest. Matthew 13, 8 and 9 goes on, some fell on good soil where it produced a crop of 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who is ears, let him hear. Boy, wouldn't we love it if we shared the gospel with one or two people and 100 came to Christ? That's the principle here. Yeah, I think one of those who God has brought into South Africa as a bountiful harvester is Angus Buchan. The Spirit of God is on that farmer. He just preaches it good old simple way, nothing fancy. And the Spirit of God anoints him. But there's a hundredfold type mission. Who knows? You may be that person. If you keep sowing, you'll reap the harvest. Galatians 6 verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Psalm 126 verse 5 and 6. those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. My friend, believe this. Harvest time is coming. Harvest time is coming. Don't give up and miss out on the harvest. You may not see the seeds growing that you have planted around you, but don't let that make you sort of say, I don't know, God's just got something else for me. Keep planting seeds. I want to tell you, as I look across this congregation, something that God has just really dropped in my spirit. This is a church of full-time harvesters. You all have time on your hands. Most of you do. You've been equipped for life. You've greased those plows. Maybe they got a bit rusty. But my friend, what a powerful force this church could be with so many who retired. What a difference this church could make in this valley. Many of you will know, or some of you will know, Terry and Stella McDermott. This couple arrived just as we were starting Radio Fishing and CCFM. They said, well, you know, we've come to retire to Fishing, but we've always had this desire to serve God. I want to tell you, they entered full-time army service, full-time harvest service. And for years they served every single day without 1 cent of pay or anything in the radio station. And they would just say it over and over again, it's been the happiest time of our lives. We're doing what we want to. You're a harvester, my friend. Get out there. Do it. You see, harvesting, finally, is not a specialist activity. Harvesting is not a specialist activity. We're all meant to be part of the harvest. Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Like sheep without a shepherd. Then he asked his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. 120,000 people in this valley is what they tell us with day zero approaching. My guess, 3,000 in church on a Sunday in this valley. Maybe 4. Maybe 5. That's a push. 5% or 4% of this valley who actively know the Lord. What a bountiful potential harvest you can reap. You'd be having 5 services here, Pastor John, every Sunday. And you say, oh, well, you know, I'm a bit old. The young people won't go after me. Well, I want to tell you, it's harvest time in the retirement centers. It's harvest time. Avril and I have just bought our retirement home in a retirement village. 1st of April, we pay for it. We're not sure when we're going to move in. But as I walked through there the other day, I saw the harvest fields. Many there without Christ. What are you doing, folk? See, there's one problem with mission weekends. Only one. You think, well, I'll stick some money in and I'll pray for that person. That's wonderful. I pray you'll double your giving next weekend. But that does not let you off the hook. It's harvest time for you. It's harvest time for you. It's harvest time. You need to go sow. You may be stunned at what God might do in your life at this time. No one is too old to reach people for Christ. There's a video which I looked for but it's gone. I found a YouTube clip of it, but it's in Dutch, so it wasn't going to work here too well. But it's a true story of a youngish farmer in his mid to late 30s in Michigan somewhere who had a heart attack one night and died. His kids were about 10, 8 and 6. He had been planting a great harvest of wheat. And as a family, their biggest worry was how they were going to get this harvest. It was a big combine harvester. Kids were too small. Wife didn't know how to drive the thing. Straight after the funeral was over, there was one family discussion. What are we going to do with the crop? That night, Mommy gathered her three little children around her. Funeral night. Said, we've got to pray that God would send us help. And next morning they woke to the sound of a distant rumble. It got louder and louder. It's combine harvester after combine harvester after combine harvester. Made its way down the road. All the farmers had left their own crop. And in a matter of hours, that entire harvest was reaped. Because everybody got involved in the harvest. Don't sit on the sidelines, folks. It's harvest time. Some may be still planting seeds. Others may be praying that the seeds may be watered. But look, look around this valley. It's harvest time. What are you doing? What are you doing? The danger of every sermon that is preached is that you go out and say, now that was quite nice, it was good to hear John again or whatever. That would be terrible. Because you see, the Spirit of God is saying, Church, I've planted you in this corner of the valley. It's time for you to serve. It's time for you to trust me to water with my Spirit. It's time for you to get into the harvest field. What are you going to do about it? Don't come with the I can't stuff. You can. Together with the Spirit of God, you might yet find your greatest purpose in life as you enter the harvest field. It's harvest time. Let's pray together. What has the Lord said to you tonight? I want you to answer that question. Answered something like this, God has said to me tonight that I, and you finish that sentence. Lord, I pray for men and women and boys and girls in this place, with whom you have placed the seal of your Spirit tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would move them into action. And that next week, when they come to hear the missionaries, there will be testimonies from people who are here tonight to say, I shared with somebody and they pray to see, receive Jesus. Lord, make us harvesters, I pray. And if that is your prayer tonight, that you just want the Spirit of God to use you in harvest, then as I pray for you as I close, I want you just to raise your hand, none of this sort of normal appeal stuff, just out to God. Lord, I want to be used as a harvest, just wherever you are. You lift your hands. Father, I just pray for these folk with their hands raised. I pray, Lord, that you would turn them into mighty harvesters. Lord, you don't just see the hands, you see the hearts. And I pray, Lord, that this week you would make them sowers. Lord, that you would let them also have the blessing of harvesting. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, empower them with your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, you may put your hands down. Amen.